If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10. It's on page 869 if you're using the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 38 through 42 as we get underway. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" You pray with me. Father in heaven, as we turn to your word now, I ask that you would strengthen us to hear, and not just to hear, but to strive to listen, to understand, to sit at your feet, Lord, not to come here with intellectual curiosity, but come here with a deep desire to hear and an expectation of your blessing. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen me to speak. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us to hear and receive your word this morning as we sit at the feet of Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come here, and As I got the order of service started and everything for this week earlier, I thought, you know, the one thing that we need to do is we need to praise God this morning. We need to praise God for his goodness. We need to look to God for all of his kindness to us in Christ. And we come here seeking comfort and refreshment that can come only in the presence of Jesus. He's poured out his riches and his mercy on us abundantly, even in the midst of the sorrow and the loss that our church has suffered. The years, and I know the church had a chance to gather and pray together last week, but was unable to be here, so I just wanted to add to that week. The years that we spent together with Pam in worship and ministry and study of God's word together were a living example of how good and glorious and sweet and delightful Christian fellowship can be. I often told Pam that she and her family's presence at Bethel was a sign of God's kindness to us as a church. And her response was usually her classic, "Yeah, right?" But it was true. And we all remain immensely grateful for God giving us so many years to walk together with her. And I think that it's fitting for us to look at a life of someone like that and say, what do we learn? Who do we want to be in light of the kind of person that she was? Now, we're going to have time soon to gather and celebrate the way she wanted. We're going to have a hymn sing. And I do think that she would want us to take a crack at Ever and A, at Psalm 136. She liked that one, so we're going to try that one. But anyway, I want to take some time this morning to do the one thing that she loved, and that's to dig into God's word. And that's what we do every week when we gather together. And so next week, Lord willing, I want to pick up again on our series on the Christian and the conscience. But for today, I want to spend some time together looking at this picture that we read a couple of minutes ago out of Luke chapter 10. I don't know about you, but when I consider Pam's life, this image from the passage that we read describes her just about more perfectly than any other verse of Scripture or any other illustration anywhere. And before I go any farther, I have to make this abundantly clear, because I can just see her glaring at me from over here. Like, she would be not happy if I was making this about her. And it's not. This is not about Pam. This is about Jesus. Amen? This is about Jesus. And I want us to see the kind of life that lives the way Mary did here in this passage. You see the kind of devotion that she had. When you look at Mary's life, the kind of devotion that she had to Jesus helps to create the kind of joyful and vibrant faith and trust and hope and delight in God that flows through the life of someone who pursues knowing and loving Christ the way Mary did here. And I want all of us to be that way. See, that's what this comes down to. Every single one of us needs to live our life the way Mary did. I want to learn together from God's word how we can grow into that kind of maturity. And what I think these verses say, and Jesus says it himself, and what I aim to show you this morning is that the only thing that matters in this world is delighted devotion to Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters in this world is delighted devotion to Jesus Christ. So in this passage, Jesus comes to stay with Martha. It's Martha's house, Martha and Mary. We learn later on that her brother Lazarus lived with them as well. Lazarus was either out of the house at this point, or for some reason God just doesn't mention. What God wants us to see in this passage is those three people, Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Lazarus may very well have been there. The disciples were clearly there because Martha was working hard to serve a meal. But the focus is on these three in this passage. And we read in verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving and getting a meal ready for Jesus and his disciples. Now, and it's been said elsewhere, and we're not going to focus on so much today, but Martha's focus was on something good. You know, I think sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, but Martha was focusing on something good. It was her devotion to Christ. She loved Jesus, and she wanted to serve him. She wanted to give him a good meal. She wasn't toying with sin. She wasn't indifferent to Jesus. It wasn't that she didn't care that he was there. She cared very much. That's why she was working so hard to prepare the meal. But I'm drawn by the way Jesus describes Martha's emotional state. I'm drawn to this. It feels so much like the days that we're living in as a church and as a nation. What does Jesus say in verse 41? Lord, answer her. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You're anxious and troubled about many things. Now, in the immediate context, she was worried that the roast was burning, or she was worried that nobody had cleaned the parsnips yet, or she was worried about, she was anxious and troubled about those different things, getting dinner ready. But take those words to heart regarding the way we're anxious and troubled these days. The word anxious here has the idea in the original language of being pulled in different directions. How many of you feel like that? You're just being pulled in 50 different directions at once these days. So many fires to put out, so many decisions to make about how to respond to the pressures and anxieties and crises that the days bring you. Like the old, what's the old U2 song Bono sang, "You're running just to stand still." Do you know that feeling? Jesus tells Martha that she's anxious and troubled about many things. And that word troubled about many things, underneath the English translation there, it's a sense of turmoil or uproar or confusion. When's the last time you really felt relaxed in 2021? When's the last time you felt free of anxiety or turmoil or confusion? Every day you wake up to more news about government tyranny, economic disaster, social upheaval, congressional incompetence, abdication of responsibility. There's no shortage of turmoil and uproar and confusion to trouble you. In fact, I want you to do something. Just take verse 41 right there in front of you. Don't do it out loud, but I want you to read that verse to yourself, and instead of Martha's name, put your name there and read that verse. Does it sound like you? Does it feel like you? Is Jesus saying to you, by name, you're anxious and you're troubled about so many things? And that's where all of us are this morning, one way or another. So how does Jesus minister to you this morning? What does he say to you? How does he release you from that anxiety and turmoil? He turns your attention to Mary. He says, look, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The answer to that turmoil, that anxiety, those pressures of the many things that weigh on you, those things that are all waiting outside that door, in another half hour or so, you're going to walk out the door and they're going to land on you again. The one answer, the one response, The one necessary thing in this world is delighted devotion to Jesus Christ. And so let's look at what that looks like. What does it look like in Mary's life? What did she do? How did she pursue that delighted devotion? And the first thing you see in verse 39, a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. The first thing that it looks like is to sit at Jesus' feet. To sit at his feet. She didn't sit on the couch next to him as an equal. She didn't stand in the doorway listening with intellectual curiosity to what Jesus might have to say about things. She sat at his feet. To sit at Jesus' feet means to be a disciple of his teaching. She didn't approach him as an intellectual curiosity. She wasn't sitting there because it looked good to be there in Jesus' presence, and she wanted all the right people to see her. No, she was in her own home. There wasn't anybody to see her. There wasn't a show to put on. She sat at his feet because she was all in to be obedient to him. And that delighted devotion to Jesus Christ means you sit at his feet. You don't pretend to be his equal. You don't pretend to be some consumer coming to take what he has to offer. You come and you sit at his feet as his disciple. And when she sat at his feet, when she sat there on the floor looking up at him, she sat there, and it means to you sit there and you expect the blessings of his teaching. You sit there expectantly. You expect the blessings of his teaching. She was waiting for him to bless her. She came to Jesus expecting to be changed. She didn't just sit there biding her time. She didn't come put in her time for 45 minutes on a Sunday and then go do her thing. No, she came expecting that Jesus was going to bless her. He's got something to say to me, and I want to hear it, and I want to be right there at his feet where I can hear it and where I can be transformed by it. She expected that he would reward her. And Paul says, in Timothy, he says, you cannot come to God unless you come knowing that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. To come with delighted devotion. The one important thing in this world is delighted devotion to Jesus Christ. And that means you come expecting him to bless you. You come and you sit at his feet. And it means, secondly, to listen to his teaching. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. And she listened to his teaching. Her delighted devotion to Jesus. Delighted devotion to Jesus means that you mark a high priority, not just on sitting at his feet, not just there being seen as a disciple, but listening. I mean, picture the scene again. Again, here's Martha trying to put together this meal. And, you know, there's shouting coming from the kitchen and they're trying to get everything together. And she's bustling back and forth through the courtyard as they're sitting there. But Mary's focus. She wasn't distracted by those things. Delighted devotion to Jesus means to be focused. It means to be focused in the midst of those distractions. And you know what this is like, don't you? You sit down with your Bible. You sit down. I'm going to sit down at Jesus' feet. I'm expecting him to bless me. I want to hear something from him. And what happens? The phone rings. Or there's a kid crisis all of a sudden. Or all of a sudden you realize, oh, that bill came due. And 1,000 little distractions all just jump in on you at once, don't they? Now, to be focused doesn't mean that you stoically ignore those things and pretend they're not real. But you know what focus means? It means you lay your hand on those distractions and you say, I'll get to you in a minute. I'll get to you. I'll take care of it. But right now, I got to hear from Jesus. Right now, I want to know what he has to say to me. And as soon as I hear from Jesus, we'll take care of whatever your distraction is. Now, of course, if you're a parent and it's blood or broken glass, that's a different matter. But that's what that focus means. It's like to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to his teaching, to be focused and to listen. See, Martha got so distracted by all of those cares, but Mary didn't allow those distractions to draw her away from gaining more of Christ. It was more important to listen to what Jesus said to set those distractions aside for a moment and focus on him. And part of that focus, you see, once you're focused, the reason you're focused is to seek understanding. You don't just want to focus for the sake of shutting out distractions. You're focused so that you can seek understanding of what Jesus is saying. And this is a characteristic, isn't it, of Pam's listening to Jesus' words, isn't it? I mean, the number of notebooks and pens and highlighters and books and resources and web links and you name it, whatever I can find. You see, that is a characteristic of that delighted devotion. I want to suck everything I can out of Jesus' words. I want to understand all of it. I want to dig into it. I want to dive deeper. I want to understand. I want more of Jesus in these words. And if it means that I have to start digging and reading and cross-referencing and whatever I have to do, asking questions, sitting down in a Bible study with other believers and saying, what about this? Wait a minute. How does that fit in? Where does that come together? You see, that's delighted devotion in Jesus. That's not just intellectual pursuit for the sake of being smarter than somebody else. That's somebody who loved to know what Jesus said. And that meant to seek understanding. In the midst of all the distractions and cares and pressures of your daily life, delighted devotion to Christ means that you delight to listen to what Jesus says, focused on and understanding and applying his words. There's so much anxiety out there. There are so many troubles that are pulling you in so many different directions. Jesus says that there is only one thing necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. See, choosing a portion, that's a loaded phrase. You read that all through the Old Testament, the idea of choosing a portion. It means to receive an inheritance. When you choose a portion, you receive an inheritance. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Or Psalm 27, 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Jesus says when Mary has chosen the better portion, she's chosen Jesus himself as her inheritance. And so we see that delighted devotion to Jesus Christ means, thirdly, that his presence is your treasure. The presence of Jesus is your treasure. In the midst of all of your anxiety and the cares that are pulling you in so many directions, in the days when you feel as though you're weighed down by sorrow, grief, and stress, the good portion of your inheritance in Jesus is the source of all your strength. The good portion of your inheritance in Jesus is the source of all your strength. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Mary didn't have to look to herself for willpower or stamina or strength or fortitude. Mary knew her own strength would fail. Her own strength would fade. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is faithful to keep her when her own strength failed. When your strength fails in all of the stresses and turmoils and trials and all of the troubles, it is his strength when he is your portion, when he is your inheritance. His strength is what keeps you going. He is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. And having Jesus as your good portion means that he is your strength, and it also means that he is the place of all your refuge. He is the place of all your refuge. Psalm 142, 5. I cry to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. When Mary was anxious and troubled by many things, here's the thing, we're reading this passage that Martha was anxious and troubled. But you know what? Mary was a human being too. Mary had her times of being anxious and troubled and pulled in many directions by many things. We certainly see it a few chapters later, don't we, in the death of Lazarus. Mary was as devastated as anyone could possibly be. But where was her portion? Where was her refuge at that moment? It was in Jesus Christ. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You see, Jesus Christ, when He is your portion, when He is your inheritance, He is the place of all your refuge. He is the one that you can fly to for comfort and protection. You have a rock to stand on, a sure and steady anchor to hold on to. Even though everything else might give way, and the mountains fall into the midst of the sea, even though you have a portion and inheritance in Jesus Christ that will never fail. Nothing will ever pluck you out of His hand. There is nothing more important than that delighted devotion to Jesus Christ. What better portion can you possibly ask for in this world than Jesus Christ Himself as your inheritance? And Jesus says something so beautiful in verse 42. He says, Martha, she's chosen the better portion. And what does He say at the end of that verse? It will not be taken away from her. Now, in the immediate context, what Jesus is saying is, Martha, I'm not going to make Mary get up and peel parsnips for you. No, she doesn't have to come help you. I'm not taking that away from her. That's the immediate context. But surely what this means, what Jesus is promising here for you, when you choose Him as your inheritance, you will never lose this portion. You will never lose your inheritance in Jesus Christ. You know, all the things that Martha was striving after, they were all good things. It's good and God-honoring to want to serve God and others. It's a noble and selfless pursuit to seek the good of people that you love. But you know what? There's no guarantee that you're going to succeed in those things, is there? There's no guarantee that those things are going to work out. Sometimes the anxieties and cares that surround you will rob you of the ability or desire to do the good things you want to do for Jesus. Here's the thing. Look at Mary and Martha. You may or may not be able to do all that you want to do for Jesus, but Jesus will always do everything that He ever purposes to do for you. Far better to choose Him as your portion, because He will never fail in any of the good that He has for you. Through the turmoil of this world, you will never lose your portion of Jesus. When you choose Him in delighted devotion, when He is your inheritance, when He is your everything, you will never lose Him through the turmoil of this world. None of the anxieties or troubles that pull at you in this world can take away His presence. Is there any better place in all of the scriptures to hear that than Paul's words in Romans 8:35? Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Who shall separate you from your portion? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your portion. It will never be taken away from you, no matter what. Through the turmoil of this world, and also through all eternity in heaven, it will never be taken from you. In his commentary on this passage, Matthew Henry says of Luke chapter 10, if we sit with him at his feet now, we shall sit with him on his throne shortly. If we sit with him at his feet now, we shall sit with him on his throne. That is exactly what God's word promises to all who choose Jesus Christ as their portion. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Mary chose the better portion, sitting at Jesus' feet as his disciple, listening to his words, seeking to obey him, living her life with Jesus Christ as her greatest treasure and inheritance. And that good portion was never taken away from her, either here on earth or in eternity. It's tempting for us to think about Pam in glory today, thinking of her sitting at Jesus' feet the way she always wanted to here in this life. But I want to tell you something. It's not where the scripture says she's sitting today. Scriptures tell us she has a far better seat. She is seated with Jesus Christ on his throne. And he spends now all of eternity showing her the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards her. The good portion that you choose here will never be taken away from you. And you will reap all of the delight and joy and glory of that eternal inheritance with Jesus Christ forever. The only thing that matters in this world, the only necessary thing for you to do with your life, is to live your life at the feet of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to come to him. You can come to him as an intellectual inquirer. You can come to him believing that he offers good moral teaching to enrich your life. But all of those intellectual or academic or ethical motivations eventually have to give way. And they have to give way to the one place where Jesus will receive you, at his feet, calling on him for salvation. The most important thing that you can do in this world, beyond all of the ambitions and goals and desires you have for your life, the most important thing in the world is to come to Jesus Christ by faith for salvation. Apart from him, you have no inheritance that will last beyond your last breath here on earth. Apart from him, you have no hope of anything but the judgment of God against your sin and rebellion against him. But Jesus Christ died and rose again so that when you call on him in faith, when you turn away from all of your wickedness and anger and lust and greed and bitterness and laziness and gluttony and arrogance and pride, and you fall at his feet in repentance, he makes you his own child and he gives you himself as your inheritance forever. So you choose that better portion today. Choose that better portion. Sit at his feet. Listen to his teaching. Make his presence your treasure and rest, that in the anxiety and troubles and cares of this world, you know that you will never lose your great and precious inheritance of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, May we see it anew. Father, may it be borne on us with all of the power and authority of your Holy Spirit that there is nothing else in this world as important as choosing Jesus Christ as our portion. There is no inheritance. There is no portion. There is nothing so important in the world. There is one necessary thing in the world: to know and to love and to submit to Jesus Christ as a disciple, to come to him for repentance and faith and to make him our treasure. So Father, won't you renew us again that Jesus Christ is our portion, that Jesus Christ is our inheritance, that there is nothing out there anywhere near so important as sitting at his feet to listen and to understand and to seek to follow and to transform, be transformed by his Spirit. Father in heaven, impress upon us again what it means to choose the portion of sitting at Jesus' feet. Father, may there be nobody in this room, nobody within the sound of my voice that will not make that better portion. Father, strengthen us. Father, melt us, convict us. Father, give us the portion that we can never lose in Jesus Christ this morning, I pray. I pray it in his name and amen.